It is God's desire that as surely as the dawn breaks forth daily, so will the revelation of His goodness be evident daily in every area of your life. Welcome to Dawn Extras with Tim Grage.
As you have observed, we're going to be talking about the Word of God, and quite uniquely so, the fact that there is a word for that. What do I mean that? I mean there is a word for that situation. There is a word for every circumstance that you are facing. But I want us, before we get into that, let me see if I can open my notes here. Let's back up and review a few things. One of the things that I put in my social media post concerning today's service is the fact that whether we are aware of it or not, the fact that we live in a world where whatever is rare is what is considered as valuable, it has put us in a position unconsciously, subconsciously, where if we're not careful, the Word of God, because it's no longer rare, the Word of God, because it's so readily available, is very often no longer considered, watch this, is very often no longer considered as potent as it should be. If we're to just ask ourselves and say, is the Word of God powerful? If you were to ask the consummate believer, is the Word of God powerful? They'll tell you yes. Then why do we struggle to believe it? Why do we struggle to put our lives on the line against its backdrop? One of the reasons that quite a few, actually, there are about four reasons that I've seen, but one of them has to be the fact that because it's so readily available, it is no longer considered as powerful. Let me say it again. Generally in life, things that are readily available, if we're not careful, we become familiar with them. And because we are familiar with them, they lack their relevant import in our lives. You know that saying, familiarity breeds contempt. Yes, even if it doesn't go all the way to contempt, very often familiarity causes things to become ordinary before us. Because your spouse always does a particular thing, you no longer see its value. If you're not careful, you will even forget to say thank you, because its consistency and its ready, the fact that it's always readily available very often stops many of us from being able to appreciate its value. This is so important. Look at what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, according as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I want to go to that scripture. You see, I'd written it out here, but I want you to see something there. It says, let me start again. I'm reading 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. So it's saying that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But look at verse 4. Verse 4 then says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's the Word of God. That by these, that's the Word of God, the exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He says that we have been given everything that pertains to your life and pertains to your godliness, and it is given to us against the backdrop of the promises of God. He actually calls it exceeding great and precious promises. I ask us, do we still consider the Word of God as exceedingly great and precious? This is important because the way we behave when the Word of God is coming to us reveals to us whether we still consider the Word of God as precious. I've seen how people come into the house of God, and while the Word is being preached, they are on their phones, and it's not like they are documenting what is being taught. They are just busy sending a message there. They remember something and they're documenting there. And the reason is because the Word of God is no longer considered as exceedingly great and precious in our hearts. You know, I was reading some stories about the church in China, the underground church in China. And it's amazing the number of people in the underground church in China that have memorized scripture. A preacher was there. He had traveled in and he showed up in one of the rooms, one of the hidden rooms, and filled in that room. They had filled it with about 100 Chinese believers. And he began to quote scripture. Well, he began to read from his little Bible. And he noticed that no one was opening the Bible. And he was sad and he was saying to them, oh, I pray when I'm coming, we will find ways to smuggle Bibles in because now I'm reading from the Word and none of you have it. And they said, no, we don't have it because if we have it, we can be arrested. So what we have done is we have memorized it. He said, you've memorized what? Almost all of them in that room said that they had memorized the entire New Testament from Matthew through to Revelations. He thought they were kidding. He said he began to read from his, and he memorized it in the King James. He said he began to read from his King James Bible, and he will pause and will say, what comes next? And they will continue it for him. The reason why they have memorized it, the reason why they treat the Word of God with such care is again because of what I've just said. Its rarity, the fact that it's not readily available, has caused them to treat it as exceeding great. No wonder they have so many testimonies of what the Word of God is doing in their lives. They are the kind of testimonies coming out of the underground church in China are the kind of things that if we were to hear here, we will say that they're exaggerated. But these are people whose lives are at stake, whose freedom are at stake, simply because they have chosen to believe God's word. The readily availability of God's word has caused many of us no longer to see it as exceeding great and precious. Just yesterday, my boss was sharing with me a testimony about a lady. She's not even a part of our church, but she watches, she visits from time to time. And she got hold of our wealth confession card. She got hold of our wealth confessions. She said, since she got hold of it, she has been making those confessions. Watch this. She said she has been making those confessions. And just yesterday, she wanted to share her testimony that between the time she started making those confessions and now, she has paid off her car. She has bought a house. Do you hear me? She has paid off a car. She has bought a house. And she just wanted me to know that her consistency in declaring that word of God, the wealth confessions, has changed her life. Now, when she said so, I was excited for her, but I was again sad for my people, because I have noticed when you are consistently exposed, like you are here till dawn, you are consistently exposed to Pastor Tim, you hear hopefully a good word every Sunday. If you are not careful, you will no longer appreciate and see me and the word that I share as exceeding great and precious. And as a result, you will no longer be able to receive the potential power that is latent within it. No wonder Jesus was speaking. He said, a shepherd is not valued in his own country. He said, a shepherd, people like myself, are not valued in their own country. Do you know what he was saying? He wasn't saying that to put the people down. He was just saying that because of the consistent availability of the shepherd, always there, always ministering, if the people that are receiving from that shepherd are not careful, they will begin to treat their shepherd as common, begin to treat their shepherd as one of them. And even with Jesus, when the people saw the word as one of them, is this not Jesus? Do we not know his father and his mother? Are his brothers and sisters not with us? Who does he think he is? Now, many of us don't go all the way to, in our minds, who does he think he is? But the ready availability has caused that thing to kick in, where because it's no longer rare, it's no longer rare, it's no longer deeply valued. Do you know how many pastors complain worldwide when they bring visiting ministers to come preach to their people? The visiting ministers say the same thing that the pastor has been saying, and yet the people begin to respond. The people begin to react, and the pastor goes on feeling depressed, feeling sad, and not realizing that it's a global phenomenon. Because the pastor has always been there, the people have become familiar. The Bible says in that location, the word that had great power to heal, the Bible says that Jesus, the word, could not then do so many miracles? The Bible says even Jesus could not do so many miracles. Why? Because the people had commonized the exceeding great and precious promise, which is the Word of God. Now, one of the key reasons why the Word of God is so potent is because, for those of you doing the Bible reading with me, Genesis explains to us and shows us how everything was created by the Word of God. Everything was, God spoke the Word into existence. But not just that, everything is currently being sustained by the Word of God. The Word of God created, and the Word of God currently sustains everything. A healing evangelist was caught up in a vision, and he appeared in heaven. And he said the angel took him to a warehouse. When he opened the warehouse door, he saw different human parts. He saw kidneys, he saw lungs, he saw hearts, he saw skulls, he saw different human parts that it didn't look gross, but he just saw it's like a warehouse of human parts. And immediately he understood the parable that he was being shown. The Lord was showing to him that every human part that needs healing, that needs replacement, was already there. It was there. And he realized that the problem was God's children were not coming into the warehouse to take their renewed strength, to take their new heart, to take their new kidneys, to take their new lungs, to take their new skin, to take their new brains. That you were not coming in to take it. And how do we take it? 2 Peter 1 verse 4 again. Whereby are given unto us. The Bible says all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Meaning name it. Name that thing that has to do with your life and living a godly life. He says it has been given to us. Then verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these exceeding great and precious promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. As we are partakers of the divine nature, the thing that affects the rest of the world will no longer affect us. Child of God, the Word of God is God's answer. It is God's answer to everything that has to do with us. That situation that you are facing, there is a word for that. Do you have a word for that? What is your slingshot? What is your scripture? What is your scan for concerning that situation? What is it? Because if I ask you that question and you can't immediately say, oh, concerning my safety, this is my scripture. Concerning my finances, this is my scripture. Concerning my children, this is my scripture. Concerning my marriage, this is my scripture. Concerning my ministry, this is my scripture. Concerning my health, this is my scripture. Concerning my education, if you cannot immediately give me a word for that, then it means that you are just working out like everybody else in the world. The Word of God is our advantage. Oh God, the Word of God is our advantage. You take God's word and you latch it to that situation. If you ask me now, what is your word concerning your children? I pray different things concerning my children. I actually have a prayer that I put out there that I say regularly concerning my children, but I have a specific word concerning my children. There are two actually. One, the Bible says that all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. Great shall be the peace of my children, and all of them shall be taught. All my children shall be taught of the Lord. I insist upon that daily concerning my children. What is your word? If I call something, what is your word for that? Because if you have a word for that, and you understand that the Word of God is God's creative as well as God's sustaining element, that thing will come. Look at Joshua 1:8. You know it already. It says, this book of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Are you seeing what it's saying? That if we will stay on the word of God day and night, that we will make, it doesn't say this might work or might not. It says it will make your way prosperous. You will have good success. You will have good success, child of God. For that situation, there is a word for it. There is a word for it. Let me give you another one. Hebrews 1 verse 3. It says, speaking about Jesus, who is the word of God, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Child of God, the word of God is the power of God. The word of God is the release of the omnipotency of God. Do not let the fact that it's so readily available cause us to no longer cherish it, to no longer treat it as sacred. This word has created everything that is. If it has created everything that was, is, and is to come, it means that situation that you are dealing with, there is a word for it. I don't know your Goliath. I don't know your expectation. But for every Goliath, there is a stone. Did you hear me? For every Goliath, there is a rock that can take him down. Do you know your rock? Jesus, speaking about himself, he says, and upon this rock, I shall build my church. And what was the rock? The revelation that Peter had just put forward, that he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. So what was the rock? The word of God. For every Goliath, there is a rock. For every situation, there is a word. There is a word for it. I know it seems overwhelming. Find the word for it. I know it seems like this situation is unyielding. Deep breath. Get God's word for it and stay there. Notice what the Bible says in Joshua 1:8. Day and night. I have learned that day and night and every time in between, whenever that thought, negative thought hits your mind, get a word to counter it. Make sure you have a word waiting for it. Waiting for it. Science is showing us that words even alter our DNA. Do you understand what that means? If words can alter your DNA, it means then words can actually recreate your physiology. That's the whole concept of the placebo effect, where because people think it will work, it works and changes their physiological being. Their physiological being. Child of God, if ordinary words can produce such power, how much more the creative word of God as documented in the Bible? Do not be moved by those people who are coming and saying, the Bible is not the word of God. There are other sources of truth. Don't be deceived by such nonsense. By now, we should be rooted enough beyond such nonsense. If you want to see change, take that word. Every day. I've said this once, twice, I will keep saying it. The severity of the situation should inform the intensity of your reaction. Let me say it again. The severity of the situation should inform the intensity of your action. Child of God, I was saying to the church on Sunday that when we moved into a new place, twice it has happened, and our safety seemed to be in question, and armed bandits had broken into the house next door. I saw that as a severe situation, putting my family at risk. So almost every night for almost 3 months straight, almost every night into the morning, I will be awake, standing on one scripture. What was my scripture? Isaiah. It says, violence shall not be heard in your land, nor wasting nor destruction within your city. It says, your walls shall be called salvation, and your gates shall be called praise. I stayed there. The severity of the situation informed the intensity of my confrontation. When I had a growth in my body, and every day, it looked like every day, the growth was getting bigger. The growth was getting bigger. I moved into at first, I will confess the word daily. Then I realized that this thing was getting bigger. And the bigger it was getting, the bigger it was getting on my hand, the bigger the fear was growing in my mind. So I moved from confessing it once a day. I had set a time. So once a day, I'll pause, meditate, declare God's word, to confessing it several times a day, such that every time, the growth was on my hand, every time I will be doing stuff and my hand will go there, you know, because it was an abnormality. So every now and again, my hand will go there. I noticed, I decided every time I touch it deliberately or inadvertently, I will pause. Didn't matter where I was, I will pause and briefly in my mind. And if I could, under my breath, I had a confession. I would declare God's word and I will picture the growth shriveling and dying. It at some point, it seemed ridiculous because at some point I was declaring that word several times a day. The severity of the situation informed the intensity of my response. Guess what? I was in the bathroom one of those moments, and in the course of I put my hand there. And as I put my hand there, the growth, the entire growth, complete with a taproot, fell into my hand. You think it's coincidence? You think it's simply, maybe it was going to all the same, maybe it wasn't to, yes, now that it has happened, it is easy to conclude that maybe there was another explanation. Child of God, this word that we have is, I woke up one morning, I was blind in my right eye, completely. I got into the bathroom, I looked at the mirror, I could not see from my right eye. I did not look. My immediate reaction, I felt the panic rise from my feet. I felt it. It felt like something cold was rising from my feet into my body. As I stood over the sink, looking in the mirror, I said to myself, no fear here. I immediately extracted my word of confession. I took my word of confession. And from that sink, I stayed and I began to declare. I moved into my bedroom. As I lay on the bed, because it was early as the morning, it wasn't time to wake up. I lay on the bed, eyes closed. I took that word like a madman and began to declare it. When it's not vain repetition, if you are saying the word of God over and over again, it's vain repetition when you are saying your pain and your sorrow over and over again, but not when it's the word. I stayed there. And I kept on declaring. Of course, my wife concluded that I was just praying, which is true. I was praying. I stayed on that word. I was dealing with the fear in my heart that from where? Slept, both eyes working, woke up, one eye blind. How? The Bible says while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tears. Too many of us are allowing the enemy to sow tears in our lives. Because we are not taking hold of your children, taking hold of your marriage, taking hold of your finances, taking hold of your mind, taking hold of your health, taking hold of your nation. We must take hold. How do we take hold? Get a word for it. I woke up the next morning, continued my day. It was later I remembered that my eye was back. I was seeing properly. And this was several years ago. And it has never repeated itself. Child of God, listen. I was sharing a testimony at the Bible school. No, one of my students was sharing a testimony about me, an experience that I had in the Bible school. Well, with his colleagues in the Bible school. And one of my pastors, who is also in the Bible school, said, you had this experience, and people are sharing it, and you are not even excited. You know, and I felt bad because I was excited. I really was excited, and I was grateful for what God had done in that situation. But her take was, you are not even excited because for you, this is normal. May the miraculous become normal in your life. Not to the point where you now treat it as common. You are no longer excited when God does things. But may it become normal. People will hear your stories and they will say, well, is it not, let me look at the names here. They will make statements like, is it not Kataza? Is it not Zimi? Is it not Nompilo? Is it not Mpo? Is it not, as long as, and they will say, because it's those people, of course they will have those experiences. One of the things that I'm praying for every citizen of Zion that goes to our church, for everyone who connects with me on Dawn, my new confession for you is where the Bible says, the sons, the children that God has given me are for signs and wonders. Are for signs and wonders. I speak over all of you. You are for signs. You are for wonders. Your life will display the miraculous power of the divine. It is all tied to getting a word for that. I'm done. Do not be discouraged. I know sometimes the situation looks endless, but don't be discouraged. Find God's word for the situation and stand firm on the word. Stand rigid, immovable on that word. And you will see that for every Goliath, there is a rock. You will see that there is a word for that.